Go ahead and take your Bibles, Luke chapter 2 this morning. Boy, what a great message and song that was. I always enjoy hearing you sing that, Brother Joe. And the text of the song is just, boy, it's so reflective of a relationship with Jesus Christ. Sweeter as the years go by, I think we could say. Luke chapter 2, our key verse has already been read, and I do appreciate Micah reading the scripture for us this morning. It's great to have the college, not kids, okay? It's not kids, it's college folk, all right? That's the phrase that I've come up with, because I know I'll hear about it if I say otherwise, okay? It's great to have the college folk back with us here. Just got done from their break, and now they're enjoying sleeping in a little bit, and I don't know, maybe working some. Parents, you're like shaking your head. Yes, they need to work, okay? Keep that up. But it's great to see folks, family, and the college folk back. That's a wonderful thing. Hey, can we go ahead and read our key verse again? Luke chapter 2, let's go ahead and look at it here. Verse 25, the Bible says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon." Now, when we examine the Christmas story, we're blessed to learn about all the different kinds of people that were able to really be woven into what we know as the Christmas story. Have you ever stopped and thought about just how unique each individual or groups were to the concept of the whole? It's so neat when I think about, you think about Mary and Joseph, and really they were two just ordinary people that were used of God in a special way. Boy, then you think about the wise men, right? These were people who were most likely highly educated. They knew some things, and yet they had a determination inside of them that just kept them going on their search for Jesus Christ. I think about the shepherds. We could say, you know, the more common folk of the era that were just, you know, out keeping watch over their flocks by night. And boy, who would have an even greater perspective on the fact that there must be a God with all of the glory of the heavens as they would watch their cattle and their sheep at night. And then, boom, all of a sudden, this host of heavenly angels appears to them. You talk about a Christmas concert worth attending. Boy, they had to be blown away at what they were seeing that night. And then you have some other characters. But as we get into the character that I want us to examine today, there's a little bit of a difference. And that is Simeon. Simeon's story is a little different than the other components of the Christmas story in that he had a little bit more information than the others did. In fact, he had been given a promise that before he died, he was going to be presented with the gift of Jesus Christ. And that's what's happening in this passage as the verses continue. Notice with me here in verse 26. It says, "And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. He came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms, and he blessed God." So as we look at Simeon here, we notice that, if I could say it this way, Christmas is about to come for Simeon. And we're going to look at this passage today, and we're going to develop some things. But, you know, there are generally, when somebody is presenting you with a gift, there are generally three aspects or stages, or we could even say emotions that go along with that as us, the receiver. First of all, you have the anticipation of what's being given. Now, hopefully, this Christmas or even on your birthday, there's someone at some point in time going to present you with a little something special that would be considered a present. And as Christmas starts getting closer, as maybe your birthday starts getting closer, what have you, there's a little bit of anticipation that begins to build. Now, certainly for the children, okay, certainly this is the case. But, you know, I found that I, as an adult, there's a little bit of anticipation in my heart too. You know, as we get closer to a day when we give each other gifts and share in that experience. But there's an anticipation. And then you have the second stage, we could say, is this is the announcement. Okay, this is the big reveal. Okay, someone's giving that gift to me, and I'm going to open it, and I'm going to, with all the anticipation that we've come to, I'm now going to realize what has been given. Okay? Well, that was the case for Simeon. We're going to talk about that. And then the third stage is really the after effects of the gift that has been given. Okay? How long does it last? What kind of quality is it? So forth and so on. We're going to examine these things as we get into the text. So let's do that. When Christmas came for Simeon, I want you to notice three things. But first of all, let's notice the anticipation of Simeon. We've already seen it here. If you notice that in verse 25, you'll notice there's a key word here that we need to lock in on for a second. It says that the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. Now, he's waiting for this gift. There's an anticipation inside of him that he can barely contain. You see this first and foremost, like I said, in children, as each day gets a little closer to Christmas. I remember having an awful time when I was younger going to sleep on Christmas Eve. It was just too much. In fact, on Christmas Eve, we would often go to a grandparent's house, and we would get some. It was the worst thing in the world because we would go late to begin with. We would open gifts, and now it's nearing midnight, and we come back, and I can't play with the gifts that I got. I got to go to bed. Well, you know how hard that is? It's torture for a child. And so I come back, go to bed, and I'm laying there with my eyes about that big. Well, how am I ever going to get to sleep? And then, I wake up, go back to sleep, wake up, go back to sleep. And then, somewhere just where the light begins to shine, I'm up and I begin playing in my room. And I'm thinking, when are mom and dad getting out of bed? We got to get this thing going. Hey, there's a great anticipation. And there was for Simeon. He was waiting for something very special. But before we talk about that, let's talk about the kind of person he was, because the Bible does give us that information. Notice what it says. The Bible shows us this, who he was. See verse 25, the Bible says, there was a man in Jerusalem. Now, before we get too far ahead of ourselves, I think it's interesting that the Lord doesn't give really Simeon any particular title. Now, it's assumed that he was a priest in Jerusalem because he's going to the temple every day and he's there. And he was given this opportunity to see the Lord Jesus as a baby. But the Bible doesn't really distinguish it as such. But it does go out of its way to tell us that he was just simply a man. And I think that's important for all of us to understand, is that you and I don't have to be anything special in this world's eyes to understand that God can use us. Boy, there were ordinary people that were woven all throughout the Christmas story that ought to strike a chord in our hearts that, hey, I don't have to be anybody special. God loves me and he can use me. What a great blessing. We see that he was a man. Notice, second of all, though, as we gain insight, the Bible says that he was a just and devout individual. And that word just there, short for just righteous, it means that his heart and life met a standard, and the standard of the Lord. Okay, so Simeon was well familiar with the law of God, and especially if he was in fact a priest, he would have been very well versed in the passages of the Messiah and things that he ought to do and how to conduct himself. And the Bible says that he was effective in that. The righteous part of Simeon has to do with his heart. Okay, so you and I can look at each other this morning. We could say, well, we're well dressed. We put some time into being here today. We maybe are conducting ourselves mannerly and that sort of thing. But that's not really the righteous part of us. Okay, that's maybe a manifestation of what's happening on the inside. But only God is the deciding factor when it comes to whether or not we are righteous. That's something that takes place at the heart level. But let's look at something that was a part of Simeon's life that wasn't necessarily about the heart level. Notice what next it says. Not only was he a man who was just or righteous, but notice the third description that we're told here is that he was in fact devout. This is the idea of a good reputation or being a well received by others. Other people could look at Simeon and see that he was well committed to the Lord. So you see the sequence here, and really the Lord is giving us a little bit, starting with the inside and working outside. And again, a good point in this is that the fact that when our inside is right, when we are striving to be righteous and well-pleasing to the Lord at our heart level, so often that affects the outward. So often the outward walk is greatly affected by that because there's a deep connection here. And so we see Simeon was not only righteous before God, but he was also an individual that other people could look up to and see that he was committed to the Lord. Boy, what a challenge for us. Now Simeon here is waiting for something, he is anticipating something, but boy, let's just pause and take a moment to see how Simeon waits. Boy, waiting's a difficult thing for us, isn't it? I don't like waiting. Chances are, you could tell me areas in which you do okay waiting, but most of the time there's a certain area that, boy, just it irks us to wait, especially if you have to wait a while. Well, Simeon was waiting, but boy, he was a godly individual. And other people could see that as well. So we see the anticipation of Simeon here. We see who he was. Notice secondly, though, what he was waiting for. And this is really the core of the message. Would you see, notice what the Bible says here. It says that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Well, the consolation of Israel. The idea of the word consolation here as the idea of comfort. But it's kind of an interesting thing, an interesting way for Simeon to express his anticipation of seeing the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, the chosen one, for the very first time. I'm waiting for the comfort of Israel. You know, I think it's just there are so many different ways that we can describe and emphasize the Lord. You know, I was talking to my wife the other day, and we were talking about just the analogy of God as the shepherd and we his sheep. Boy, I love Psalm 23. I love Psalm 23. I love to meditate upon its truths often. Boy, there's just something that connects with me about that analogy. And you know what? I think this analogy of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, being the one to bring comfort to Israel was something that connected with Simeon. God had promised a Messiah. No doubt, Simeon would have been familiar with passages such as Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 that described some of the characteristics of the Lord Jesus. For instance, for unto us is born a son given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. Listen to these descriptions. His name shall be called Wonderful. He'll be a counselor of the mighty God, the everlasting Father. That's an interesting distinction, is it not, for the Lord Jesus? We don't have time to talk about that today. You'll have to look that up on your own. But the Prince of Peace. Boy, God had promised a Messiah. Simeon was well aware of that, and there's an anticipation in his heart. We see that God had promised a Messiah. This Messiah would set the captive free, Isaiah 61 and verse 1, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and opening of the prison to them that are bound. The Messiah was the one who would bring salvation, Isaiah 25 and verse 9, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. This Messiah would be the conqueror. He would conquer death, Isaiah 25 and verse 8. He will swallow up death in victory. Boy, these are all Old Testament passages that Simeon no doubt was aware of. And so as he waits, well, he can hardly stand it. The fact that, hey, one day I'm going to walk into the temple and I'm going to see the Messiah for the first time. Boy, what an amazing thing. The comfort of Israel is coming. So we see who Simeon was. We see what he was waiting for. We notice what he was controlled by. We see this. There's a phrase here that's woven throughout at least verse 25, 26, and 27. And it is that of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says that the Holy Ghost was upon him. And then it says that verse 26, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And verse 27, and he came by the Spirit into the temple. Well, I think that's interesting. You know, here's Simeon, a little bit different scenario because he's on the other side of Pentecost. Remember, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was given for specific purposes as at different times. And so God at different moments was giving Simeon the Holy Spirit, who would then direct him towards the next step or the next knowledge of truth. And of course, in our lives as New Testament believers and after Pentecost, we realize that once a person accepted Jesus as their Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to live and abide in us. And so in a sense, there is a sense in which each one of us, as Simeon was, can be directed by the Holy Spirit of God. That's exactly what was controlling Simeon. And we see that. We see the Holy Ghost was upon him. We see the Spirit revealed that he should not see death. Now, none of us are going to hear that from the Holy Spirit this morning. Now, at one point in time, can you say, okay, well, the Lord told me that I'm not going to die. Okay, the Holy Spirit doesn't communicate like that as he did here, but he does speak truth in our hearts as we meditate upon the Word of God. And so we see that. We see the anticipation of Simeon and that we know who he was. We see what he was waiting for and then what he was controlled by. But this is just the first stage when it comes to receiving a gift, the anticipation, the building up of something that will be presented. And so let's notice that. When Christmas came for Simeon, we see that there was an anticipation for Simeon. We see number two, would you notice, an announcement of the gift. An announcement of the gift. And so this is that big realizing moment. Would you take your eyes and place them on verse 27 and notice here just a few verses, the next few verses. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he up in his arms. I blessed him and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Christmas Day has arrived for Simeon in a sense. Boy, it's here. The waiting is over. And you know what's neat about this passage is that Mary and Joseph did not have to come up and tell Simeon, hey, this is the chosen one. I bet you that Simeon actually wondered how this was going to unfold. I bet you there were times that he thought, okay, now if I show up at the temple, Is the Messiah going to come find me? Are Mary and Joseph going to come find me and tell me that this is, in fact, or am I going to know? I mean, is it just going to be a moment where I look at the baby and then it's like, boom, I know this is, well, that's about how it happened. Okay, there are certain different layers to how we announce our gifts, isn't there? There's certain ways that can play out in our homes on Christmas. Now, there are those who are very intent on figuring out the gift before they open it. Okay, I know you're out there. Okay, you pick it up. Okay, you maybe shake it. All right, maybe you even weigh it. Like, you know, maybe you even like feel around and try to like it's squishy. Okay, you know, and in your mind, there are those of you who that's right up your alley. You're like, I want to try it. And part of the joy, Brother Scott, is figuring out what I got on Christmas. I mean, that's not me. Okay, I like the surprise. Okay, let's just keep it under wraps. And then there are others who like to help you figure out your gift. Okay, now this bothers me. Okay, because I like surprises. Okay, so if we're ever at a party or something, and you're holding a gift, I'm holding a gift, and I'm about to open mine, don't lean over and suppose. Okay, don't. All right, I just want it to be special for me. I bet it's a book. Don't tell me that. I don't want to know that. I want it to be a surprise for everyone. I can't remember. I can't remember which one of my kids it was. I think it was a birthday party or something. One of them was opening the gift, and before they realized what it was, the other kid said, "It's a," and then filled in the blank, and the boy just kind of, okay, thanks for that, you know. And that's the way I would be. I'd be like, hey. This is the gift that's given to me. All right, I want to be excited. I want to see what it is at that moment when it's realized. And there's a realizing moment here for Simeon as he is presented with the Messiah. Notice Simeon's surprise. Notice Simeon's surprise here. The Bible says in verse 27, and he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought him in, the child Jesus, to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms. You see here that Simeon's surprise. Christ. Now, how did all of this come together? Well, Christ had been born, but then it was in the law that he should be presented in the temple. And we have actual information on that in the same passage. If you look back to verses 23, a few verses before where we're at, look at verse 23, Luke 2 and verse 23. It says, "And it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord." And verse 24, "And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two pigeons." So how did they end up here? Well, they were coming because of the law, and there needed to be a sacrifice. There needed to be a consecration of the gift that had been given them. And so that's playing out there in the temple as they come there to Jerusalem. And Simeon sees it, and he knows right away, hey, this is the Messiah. And he takes the boy up in his arms. And how exciting that moment must have been for him. Simeon's surprise, we see it here. But notice, number two, Simeon's response. What's his response? The Bible says he took him up in his arms and he blessed him. Well, you know, that the reactions of people opening gifts that I've given are pretty cool. Now, I like seeing that. As a giver of a gift, it's a neat thing. You know, especially if you've gone out of your way to disguise it. How many of you like to go out of your way to disguise your gifts that you give to people? How many of you like to do that? Okay, fair enough, hands. And probably because the people in your family are very intent on finding out, right? So I enjoy doing that, but it's a special thing, you know? And the reaction to gifts given is different across the board. Sometimes just sheer joy. I was watching a video, I think Dr. Dalton posted, of third grade opening their gifts that they had gotten from their teacher. Let me tell you, make sure you have the volume down when you're listening to that video, okay? The class just erupted as they're realizing the things that they've gotten, and paper's going this way and that way, and kids are jumping up and down, and oh man, you want a good laugh, go watch that video. But there's different reactions. I mean, you know, there have been times, you know, maybe in your family, you give somebody a gift and they just start laughing. You know, just, okay. You know, they just laughed. It's an emotion. It's just coming right out. Maybe it's been so special. You've given them a gift and they start crying. Boy, that happens too, doesn't it? Boy, and sometimes that's a combination of all three. You know, in different stages, it's like laughing, crying, sheer joy, all at the same time. That's when you know it's a good gift, right? Simeon's surprise here, but we see his response. And you know, you can tell a lot by how impactful a gift has been based on a response of an individual. What does Simeon say? Would you look at that? What does he say here in his response? We see the Bible, back to verse 28, we see that then took he him up in his arms. He blessed God. And notice we said, "Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people." We see here in Simeon's response, we see that he longed for peace. There's that peace again coming up. Consolation of Israel. We see that we see Simeon's recognition of the gift that he received here. And he knew exactly what it was. And that is, the Christ is as the gift of salvation. Salvation here as the idea to rescue or to save. And we read on a few more verses. We see that not just the Jews would be saved, but it would be the Gentiles as well. Verse 32, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Boy, this was special. Simeon knew exactly what he was looking at, and that was, hey, this was the gift of Christ, the gift of salvation. You ever gotten a gift and you didn't know quite what it was? Well, I do. You can look these up. I love these gag gift boxes. They are great. It says, it looks like a legit product on the outside. In fact, it gives you a customer service number to call. It gives all the details and the ingredients, the nutritional facts. And then you open the box and it's completely different other than what the box says. But a fruitcake fire log. Somebody gave this box to me a few years ago and I'm looking at it. I'm just trying, what in the world is this person giving me? The description says it's It's fruitcake, but it goes on the fire, and there's pictures of families huddled around the fireplace. I'm thinking, what? How am I going? I don't even know what this thing is. I had somebody give me once. This was the strangest gift somebody gave me, but I have to mention it here because I've never forgotten it. And I think it was my birthday, and I'm opening the gift, and I'm looking at it, and I just have no idea what this thing is. And it was a piggy bank, but it was in the form of an exploding outhouse. I'm like, okay. You know, I assume it was a gag gift. I mean, there literally has no purpose. You put a penny in it, the whole thing goes up. It just explodes. I'm like, do I stink? What is this? What are you trying to tell me that I don't know what this is? You know, sometimes we have a hard time processing. What's the gift? What am I looking at here? Not so for Simeon. Boy, Simeon knew exactly what this was about. Hey, this is the Messiah, the one who has come to save us from our sins. Boy, what a reality for us today. Boy, and that's something the Lord continues to do. Boy, he's doing it on the mission field. He's doing it right here in Herndon. There are people coming to Christ. They're realizing the gift that has been given to them. This was a special moment for Simeon, for sure. And as Christmas came for Simeon, the excitement of realizing the gift that was given must have been truly overwhelming in that moment. We've seen the first stage, the anticipation of the gift. We've seen the second, which is the announcement, the realizing of the gift that's been giving, and then given. And then notice last of all, the abiding effects, an abiding effect. Look at the verses that we have left in our text, and that is 34 and 35. Would you notice what Simeon does here? He says, and Simeon blessed them, and he said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Verse 35, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. We see here the abiding effects of such a gift. Now, there's much variety in the world of gift giving. Some folks recently gave me a gift that will not last very long. It's because it's edible. Okay, I'm going to eat it very quickly, and it's going to be devoured. And if I don't, it's not going to last. It will most certainly perish. It's not the kind of thing you want to stick in a drawer somewhere for later on. There are short-term gifts that we enjoy. Sometimes there are gifts that we have for a season. You know, when I was a kid, I enjoyed collecting Hot Wheels cars. I don't enjoy that today. Okay, I'm not going to go home in between services and get out my Hot Wheels cars and start racing them down the track. It's just not going to happen. Why? Because it was enjoyed for a season. And then there's some gifts maybe that were given that they go out of style. Maybe they just don't last forever because we use them and we enjoy them and they're not really meant to. But this gift was far different. This gift here for Simeon and for all of us was far different than any of those perishable gifts. And we see that in his description here as he talks about the Lord Jesus. Simeon understood that Christ was a gift that went beyond all others. Notice a couple of thoughts here. He's talking about Jesus going to the cross. Jesus would go to the cross. These would be the abiding effects of the gift. He would go to the cross. And he says, set for the fall and rising again in Israel. As Christ continued with his earthly ministry, he would then go to the cross. He would lay down his life for all of us. Then after that, he would rise again. Well, it's just the next step. It's the continuing effects. And he would rise again for all of us. And the testimony of Christ's birth and his death and his resurrection continue even today to pierce the hearts of every sinner who opens their heart today. Verse 35 says, pierce through thine own soul. What are the continuing effects of Jesus as the gift for us today? Well, the Bible tells us in Romans 8 and verse 34 that if you've accepted him as your Savior, he is now our intercessor. It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. He's pleading our cause. He presents our interests before God the Father, and he's doing that continually on our behalf. Then, of course, we have the promise, lastly, of his coming. The Lord shall return, and we shall be caught up together with him. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And these are the abiding effects of those who have accepted the gift of Christ. You see the stages here for Simeon as Christmas, if we could say it this way, came for him, where there was the anticipation of it all. There was the realizing of that great day when the Lord Jesus is brought before him, the announcement, if you will. And then there's the abiding effects. And boy, that connects with absolutely every heart that's in this room today. Can we say it this way? Christ, as the perfect gift, is the gift that keeps right on giving. You know, this Christmas, as we get a chance to give gifts, and maybe if we're fortunate enough, someone will give us a gift, I hope that we'll realize that gift giving, no matter its value or its cost, ultimately pales in comparison to the ultimate gift that was given to us so many years ago through our Lord Jesus and continues to affect us even today. Heads bowed and eyes closed this morning. I hope that we've been reminded of some things this morning as we've looked here at when Christmas came for Simeon. Maybe at the point in the message is we talked about Simeon's character. Maybe you were struck to the heart a little bit about how he was led of the Spirit, and maybe that's lacking in our lives. Maybe in regards to your own heart, and maybe you have the outside right, but the inside in your life is there's turmoil and there's unconfessed sin and there's things that need to be dealt with. I pray that this morning that would be something that we acknowledge. Maybe there's a point in your life where you've been celebrating the temporal things, and you've gotten away from just the value of what we have in the gift of Christ. Maybe this morning we just need to confess that and to really thank the Lord for the gift that he's given us this Christmas. Just a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to sing together. And if God's spoken to your heart, the altar's open. Nobody's looking around. If you want to pray about any particular thing relating to the message or anything at all, it's open for you. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you would bless this invitation time as we sing Just As I Am. Father, I pray that we would deal with the heart level, Lord, which is how we connect with you. And Lord, would you firmly imprint this illustration of when Christmas came for Simeon on our hearts this season. In your name we pray. Amen.